welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And this week's episode is brought to you by Chloraseptic Spray, Halls Cough Drops, Green Tea, Sudafed, Mucinex, Ibuprofen. Did I forget anything? I know that's just the ones for me, but...
Basically, Jonathan's got a cold.
Yes, there is a lot of illness in this house, and actually, I was sick pretty much the entire time at Halloween and Haunt Fest, too.
Right, so we weren't able to get any interviews, yeah. And you'll hear that quite often.
Yeah, quite a bit. I'm sorry in advance for the coughing. I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But long story short, yes, I was sick the entire conference. We did not do any interviews. What we did do is we scheduled people that we'll be talking to later.
Right.
So that, I think, is actually, in a way, cooler. Because rather than spending 5 minutes waving a mic around in someone's face, we're going to sit down and chill with these people for the full 50 minutes.
Right.
And I'm actually really excited about some of these upcoming shows.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry there's no, like, hot takes on it in terms of, like, interviews on the spot or whatever. But, man, there's some cool stuff coming your way, I'm telling you straight. And one of those episodes will be, and he's already confirmed he's going to do it, is Steve, the guy who organized this haunt.
Right.
Will be here. We'll have some of the organizers from Halloween Haunt Fest. They wanted us to give him a few weeks.
Yeah.
To recuperate.
Yes. Having organized large conferences, I understand completely the need to do that.
So we're giving them time to rest and recuperate. We have other guests coming up sooner. We do have someone who we're still trying to book down. We're actually going to revisit the wrestling and haunted attraction conference and the topic soon.
Right.
We got someone that really wants to provide a great take on that.
Yes.
No spoilers. On who it is, it's a mystery guest. You're just going to have to listen and find out. You see, I'm learning from my wrestling booking. Keep them interested. You got to pay for the match.
I guess it is good to take your own advice.
Yes, it is. But anyways, so we have a lot of great stuff coming up. But this week, we didn't have very much planned because, like we said, we were at the conference. We are sick now. We were sick then.
Yeah.
So the best thing I think we could do is... do sort of a recap of our experience at Halloween and Haunt Fest.
Right.
Talk about what we saw, what we did, what we liked, things we think might be able to be improved next time around.
Yeah.
And then bring Steve on sometime later to talk about his vision for the conference and where he's going with it. And I'll just jam, basically, is the idea.
Sounds good.
So I want to just lay our experience out first, sort of our cards on the table. And honestly, the cards are all pretty good. Mostly for the most part, at the very least, they're good. So,
right.
We got a lot to go over today. We don't have show notes for like the first time in history due to illness and not being able to really find time with the conferencing.
At least in a long time.
But yeah. But we have a lot to go over. We've been sort of talking about this nonstop since we got out of the conference. I don't think it'll be much of a challenge to fill another 40 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully.
But first, we do have conference reminders.
We do.
Crystal, will you do the honors?
I will. September 8th through 10th is Mask Fest at Indianapolis, Indiana, in the Marriott Indianapolis East. All about makeup effects and masking, and maskfest.com for more info on that.
All right, October 14th and 15th, it's Sinister Creature Con at the Scottish Rite Center in Sacramento, California. Can I just say, I love the name of the Scottish Rite Center, too, while we're at it?
Yeah.
It includes all things horror, including filmmakers, makeup artists, haunted attraction engineers, and actors. It is sponsored in part by the Cemeterium Haunted House. Finally got it right on first go. And the Dire World Scare Park featured guests include Ted Raimi, Scott McDonald, Marky Ramone, and Uwe Boll. Learn more at SinisterCreatureConSacramento.com, California. Got through the domain without coughing.
Awesome. All right. Then November 9th and 11th, so just after Season Legendary Haunt Tour, will be happening in Philadelphia, PA, Crown Plaza, Philadelphia, touring Field of Screams, Bates Motel, and Haunted Hayride, Reaper's Revenge. Legendary Haunt Tour with tooties.com.
Yes, talking to other haunters, both at the conference and elsewhere.
Yeah.
This is a big one to go to. This is becoming a major industry convention here.
Yeah, I think it's probably been on everybody's radar for a while, but most of the people I talked to at the conference are going to Legendary.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things. If you want to attract like pro haunters, haunt tours is the ticket.
Yes.
I think that's one of the tickets.
Yes.
Okay, but our final conference is HauntCon and / Halloween and Party Expo because they're merged now.
Yeah, they need to come up with a new name that merges.
That doesn't go on for 3 weeks?
Yes.
It will be in New Orleans, Louisiana, January 12th through 15th at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center right along the beautiful riverfront here in New Orleans. It is such a gorgeous location. I'm really just making this up as I go now.
I know. You're stalling for time.
And you can learn more at HauntCon.com. Mm-hmm. But yes, that is the upcoming conferences. And that brings us to Halloween and HauntFest.
It does.
Which was, of course, in Mesquite, Texas, just outside of Dallas.
Right.
And, you know, it was kind of I realized after we were booking our travel, it was a little bit of a weird location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we flew Southwest, so that meant we landed in Love Field Airport, which is pretty adjacent to downtown. It's pretty close to downtown Dallas. It's the closer of the two airports in downtown. But even from there, it was a 30-minute Uber ride or taxi ride to Mesquite.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was quite a ways away from the hotel.
So this is the feeling I got initially based on the travel arrangements we made is this seems to be very much a locals conference.
It does. It seemed to be, I think there were some people from Galveston and Houston. They were there being very concerned about what was going on at home.
No, obviously. And by the way, to that note, our hearts, thoughts as New Orleanians.
Yeah.
Brothers and Hurricanes, you have our love and support.
Yeah.
Please, if there's anything, if anyone out there listening to this needs help, let us know. And we'll do all we can. We'll put the call out. We'll assist in absolutely any way we can.
Yep.
But please continue. Sorry.
Nope, that's okay. That needed to be said. So, yeah, I think that's the... there was someone from Kentucky, Virginia, and New Jersey.
Yeah.
But I would say the people who traveled more than 4 hours probably made up 1% of the conference.
Yeah, and they were more likely to be vendors or speakers, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they were almost exclusively vendors or speakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there were some people that defied that, but...
Yeah.
In my experience, they were more likely to be vendors or speakers. Which, I mean, a locals conference is just fine. Dallas is a huge area, and obviously it's a short drive to Houston.
Right, and there are
short
a lot
drive in big air quotes, but...
Yeah, and there are a lot of haunted attractions around there.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to have it there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's centrally located for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it also can reach into, like, eastern Louisiana...
Right.
Especially like the Shreveport area there along I-20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get, I mean, not eastern, western Louisiana, Jonathan. Directions matter.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's been a long few days and there's illness and all this stuff, so yeah. But long and short of it is, it had a more locals vibe to it. We arrived on Friday, which may have been a bit of a mistake.
Once
you arrived there Thursday night
and
for Friday morning.
Right.
Because we weren't participating in any of the Friday workshops.
Right. Well, I didn't know that the thing that I wanted to go to could be broken down to take home on an airplane.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That is one of those really we wish we had known.
Yeah.
Because at least one of us would have gone to it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe both. We might have both considered it.
Yeah.
Because it was the making the pneumatic prop. When we said in our preview... We both wanted to go.
Right.
And we said in our preview that we couldn't go because we were doing carry-on only and had no means of getting it back. Well, it turns out we spoke with the instructor after the fact. It was actually trivial to break it down and put it in a carry-on bag.
Yeah. Bill Ramsey's a nice guy.
He is. Really, really good guy. Really good class. I saw what he made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to say, though, I'm worried that no conference center will ever have him twice.
Yeah.
Because the sheer volume of aluminum shavings that session threw into the carpet.
Right.
I mean, he himself admitted it. It was like, there's probably a reason I've never been in the same building twice.
Yeah.
Probably has, like, other conferences have his photo up over the desk.
Right.
Don't let this guy teach a class here.
Yeah. Yeah, they are trying to work it out to have it at the same convention center next year, is what I've heard.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, and yeah, look, let's take a minute and talk about the venue real fast before we jump too deep into the conference.
Okay.
It was both a hotel and a convention center in one building. They were connected by like a skyway system. The hotel was all right. I mean,
yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, it was okay. It
to me the problem is it's a Hampton Inn, which means it's owned by Hilton,
right?
And it suffers from what I call the cheap hotel paradox.
Yeah.
Now, for those who don't travel a lot, the cheap hotel paradox basically says the cheaper the hotel, the more things you get for free.
Yes.
I've never understood this. This makes zero sense. Because you would expect like those cheap hotels to be like Spirit Airlines.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you get a cheap rate, but you're going to pay for every little damn thing you want to do. You want to park your car, that's going to be an extra, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every little thing's going to tack on. But no, that's not how it works. You go to like a Holiday Inn, you'll pay like half price of a Hilton, but you'll get the free Wi-Fi, you get the pool, you get parking, you'll get all that jazz. At the Hilton, at this Hampton Inn rather, there was a lot of stuff that was at cost. It was fairly expensive. Like, you could get Wi-Fi complimentary, but if you wanted to have, like, usable Wi-Fi, you had to pay per day and per device.
Yeah.
And I guess it was all right. It just wasn't magical.
So, could you bring up... Well, never mind.
I think I stumped Crystal here.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to figure out...
Which, granted, since we're both sick, is not a difficult task for either of us.
Yes, I found out I'm allergic to rodeos. Yay! Now, as a haunter, looking at the hives that broke out because of the rodeo, I'm like, wow, if those were fake, they would be really good on a character.
Yeah, you scared the hell out of me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, yeah, so the hotel was fine. I mean, I'm not going to... It's neither here nor there. It was a hotel.
Yeah.
It was a nicer end hotel, so it comes with some of the quirks of getting a nicer end hotel.
Right. I will warn you that if you do the book your room ahead, make sure that you are getting what you paid for.
Yes.
Because we paid for a king size room and wound up getting
a double double. Yeah, and apparently, and it was weird because the hotel has this very cool thing where it lets you book your own room, like you said, where you get to choose the room. And I just kind of ran with what it chose for me.
Yeah.
Because it was on the first floor. I didn't see a reason to change that.
And why would they suggest anything other than what you had chosen?
Yeah, but apparently they did. And it created another problem also because the first floor isn't the lobby floor, we found out. The lobby floor is on two. So the whole reason we booked on that floor was basically so that we would have, you know, not to do stairs or elevators.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out so good. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. The convention center itself was pretty good, actually, I think.
Yeah. Their breakfast was decent.
Hotel's breakfast. Yeah, that was really good breakfast.
Yeah. They did not have a place to get lunch or dinner on the grounds.
No. Except for a concession stand.
Which was provided by the conference.
Yes.
So that was a bit annoying, not having any way to get anywhere other than walking.
Now, to be somewhat fair, there was like a bunch of fast food and stuff about half a mile away.
Yeah, half a mile, a little bit further, yeah.
So it is walkable if you're not opposed to a hike.
Yeah, we did walk some.
Now, we walked a fair amount. And, I mean, look, I'm an avid runner, and you're not afraid of a hike.
No, no.
So it didn't really bother us. But just bear that in mind, that if you go to the conference and it's here, you might want to plan your lunches around that.
Right. And apparently they do have some suites that have a kitchenette.
Yeah.
The small room we were in did not.
So. Yeah. We got the El Cheapo Rumo.
Yeah. At the more expensive price.
Yes.
Yay.
But anyway.
I may be a little bit bitter about that.
Well, you know, it was a weird experience.
Yeah.
But long and short of it, this hotel was fine. There's nothing much to say about it. The conference center was okay, even though the way it positioned things seemed a bit odd to me.
Yeah. Yeah, because you had the conference floor on one side
of the building.
Of the building, and then two ballrooms that had various interesting things going on while we were there. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we had the classrooms on the other side of the ballrooms.
Yeah.
So there was no way to get directly from the showroom floor to the classrooms.
Yeah, it was basically, I would say, a 2 to 3 minute walk.
Yeah.
To get from the showroom floor to the classroom. It's not super long.
No.
But it's not something I've seen at a lot of other conferences I've been to.
Right.
And I've done a lot of conferences.
You have. And with tight schedules, if you're going to something on the main floor for a class mm-hmm. there, and then want to take a class in a classroom, then you've got to figure out that time.
And also, it's kind of a mental barrier, too.
Right.
Because if you're on the trade show floor, you're looking at stuff, and someone says, hey, in 5 minutes or whatever, there's a class on so-and-so, and they go, oh, yeah, I want to take that class, but all the way over there.
Yeah.
It might dissuade you, especially if you're in the middle of a conversation, in the middle of looking at something.
Yeah.
There's a mental barrier there, too, I think.
Yeah, it's like having bridges in a city.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't realize that Belle Chasse was only 10 minutes away because you have to cross a bridge.
Yes, and well, we're across the river from the rest of the city and no one wants to come visit us because we're in Algiers. And it's
it's 5 minutes away.
Like, literally, you live uptown, you could be here in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mean,
you could be here quicker than I could be in other parts of Algiers. But
yeah.
Anyways. But it's one of those mental barriers, too. But still, the convention center itself, I thought, was pretty nice.
Yeah.
As you noted, there were some interesting things going on at the same time as our conference.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I get it. I've been to enough conferences to know that a large convention center will book multiple things the same weekend. Godspeed. That's fine. That's great.
Right.
But the problem was, with the way it was laid out, the way we just described the layout, there was no way for the different events to miss one another.
Right, right. If you were looking at it as a U, everybody that wasn't involved in the haunt industry was in the top of the U.
Yeah, it was in the center of the U part, and we were literally surrounding them on all sides.
We're going to attack!
And let's see, Friday night they had a wedding, a very, very large wedding.
Yes.
Very large, very nice wedding, I might add. It looked like they were doing it upright. And they also had Friday night the class reunion.
Yes.
In one of the classrooms, so we would go on to use the next day. Both of those were interesting. The class reunion seemed kind of amused by us.
Yeah.
The wedding was actively displeased that the freaks were in the building.
Yes. Yeah.
Comically, like there are stories of like the bride like going on the long side of the hotel lobby then to avoid being like near the haunty people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amusing.
And it's like, you know, I'm sympathetic. This is her special night, and I get all that. But at the same time, it's like, we're just haunters, man. We're just people here for a convention and a good time. And it wasn't even that big of a crowd Friday night for us.
Yeah.
I mean, only like a few dozen of the students were there, tops.
Yeah.
Most of the people there were instructors and speakers and vendors.
Right.
Which actually brings us to the Friday night mixer, which was basically the vendors, speakers, and a handful of students who were there early.
Right.
And it was a nice little mixer, I gotta say.
Yeah, it was fun. There were games and and food, so, you know, you didn't eat too much.
They gave us, tortillas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Make your own tortilla, build your own tortillas.
Yeah, or nachos.
Or nachos, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had some of the best guacamole. Because it's Texas, of course, they're going to have good guacamole. You cannot get away with bad guacamole in Texas.
And there was also one free drink per person, and I felt terrible because that was right around the time I really started feeling bad.
Yeah.
Was right then. Yeah. And I could enjoy absolutely jack of it all.
Yeah. We actually, because of illness, did not stay up and talk as much as we would have liked. Any of the days.
Yeah, any of the days at all. Because my talk was at 10:30. It was first thing the next morning.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, yeah, you know, that's not, you're not like, I'm not like in danger of waking up with a hangover and missing my talk.
No, no, no.
That's not the problem. But it's like, I feel so bad right now. I'm not sure if I'm going to be, you know, I might be a cast member of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Whenever I wake up. I don't know how it's going to go. So basically, it's a situation where I drugged myself like mad.
Mm-hmm.
The night before. Still struggled to sleep.
Yeah.
But drugged myself like crazy. Woke up in the morning. Woke up about 2 hours before my talk.
Yeah.
Took a steam shower. Mm-hmm. Did everything. Like, I sat there in the bathroom of the hotel, which, by the way, was very nice. The things we're going to complain about, The shower was, the whole bathroom setup was great. So I'm sitting there in the shower trying to breathe in all the steam I can to feel better, doing chloroseptic spray, doing cough drops.
Yeah, because I hiked over while you were in there.
Yeah.
To get the chloroseptic and stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah, she braved the elements in the relatively early morning Texas to bring me more medicine.
Yeah.
And take, you know, decongest and take everything I can. And then we got to my first talk, and there was no one there.
Yep.
Now, the lesson we learned, what we found out, was the trade show floor opened at the exact same time as the first talks were scheduled to begin.
Right. And so everybody was checking out the trade show floor because that's where registration was.
Yeah.
Which,
And this impacted both me and Bill Ramsey, by the way, who was the other 10:30 speaker.
Right.
He had the exact same problem, if I remember him saying so correctly.
Yeah.
And basically no one showed up. They made announcements on the trade show floor, and then we both got pretty decent groups.
Right.
I mean, I'm not expecting to blow the doors off with a copyright and trademark for Haunters talk, but we still got about 12 people in there total.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about that.
Right.
It was a decent, it ended up being a fairly decent crowd for this type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a late start.
Yeah, it did point out to me why South by Southwest has the first day of classes before the trade show floor even opens.
Yeah.
They don't open theirs until the afternoon of the second day. So when most of the classes have ended for that day.
And you're talking about South by Southwest Interactive specifically with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the only one I've been to.
So. Yeah, I know. It's the only one I've been to, but there are people out there in the music and film, music and film industry going, not my South by Southwest.
Okay.
I can practically hear them because they've done it to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the talk went off. I thought it went pretty well overall, despite my illness. I was thrown for a loop. I obviously wasn't at full mental faculties.
Right.
But got through it. No major screw-ups, no major errors. Honestly, if I were going to give myself a grade, it'd be like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm usually like an 8 or a 9. My performance is usually really solid. I didn't feel like I did that good this time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. But at this point, you and I split up after my talk.
Yes.
Because you had gotten volunteered.
Yes.
Or voluntold. I'm not sure which it was. It thread
kind
the
of
line.
Both.
It thread the line between the two.
Well, because some of the classes were canceled, unfortunately, due to people not being able to get to the conference because they lived in the Houston area, in southern Texas. The classes that I wanted to take weren't available. So
some of them were at least. Yeah.
Some of them weren't available, so it made sense to split up. So yes. If you saw the little video that I posted, I was inside the haunted house scaring people.
Yeah, this was one of those things that I did not know was going to happen. I don't think anyone knew it was going to happen.
Okay, so the guy who put it together knew 24 hours before. He built that little thing in 24 hours.
Hey, we got to give mad props on this one.
Yeah.
To build a haunted house of any size.
Right.
Even with pre-made panels, even with...
Right.
Hodgepodge design, anything, to design and build a haunted house in 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's, whew.
Yeah, it was 24 panels. They thought the truck that they were bringing over was 48.
Easy mistake.
That was apparently a different trailer.
But honestly, I don't know if they could have assembled 48 panels in that time.
Or gotten the volunteers for it.
Yeah.
Because they were getting volunteers...
On the show floor, basically.
Yeah, on the show floor the day it was supposed to open.
Yeah, I mean, honestly...
It was kind of cray.
Honestly, I think it was about as big as it could be under the circumstances.
Yeah.
And it was a little one-minute walk through haunted house.
Yeah.
And you were acting in it, scaring the spooky people of the conference.
Yes. I first worked the drop panel, so if you saw somebody pop out really quick and then go back... That mask was horrible. I will not name the mask maker because I don't remember who it was.
I would name you, but I couldn't be bothered to remember.
No, I wouldn't do that because I think it would look great on a wall, but for practical use, having no place to breathe and being made out of hard resin,
yeah,
it was...
seems to be an unfortunate trend in mask making.
Yeah.
These days, it's masks that look really good in photographs and on displays, yeah. but are absolute garbage to wear.
Yeah, it was ill-fitted and, you know, it wasn't my best job. So I actually got someone else, because there were several people from Fearphobia there, asked one of them, could they take the drop panel for the rest of the run? So I only did that for the first 30 minutes. And I actually, since they didn't ask me to play a victim, which, yay for them, I played a victim in the first room to distract for the drop panel.
And that was actually your first job ever in a haunted house.
Yes.
Was playing a victim.
Well, first it was a guide.
Oh, that's right. You were a guide first.
I was a guide for like 3 hours, and then everybody was getting scared of me looking at them, so they put me in a victim role.
Yeah, I don't really understand. If you're scared... Okay, guided haunted houses are more or less a thing of the past. I think we worked in the last one ever.
Yeah, probably. Well, no, because Lafitte does it.
Oh, that's true. Okay, but one of the last ones ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got scares as the guide when you...
Yeah, but I had that same effect on people in high school, so...
Yeah.
It's that piercing glare is what it was described as.
Welcome to my world, dear listener. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Regardless, though, so you did the victim role, and that seemed to go pretty well for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it did. It was,
Did you get a lot of people coming through?
Yeah, we probably got 50 to 60 people in the 3 hours.
Yeah, and for...
No, it was actually probably more like 2.5 hours, because there were several breaks.
Yeah.
Because people were trying to get food.
And you have to understand, this was something that was not announced. It was off kind of to the side and to the back of the trade show floor. You really kind of had to stumble upon it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was announced over the loudspeakers after it was opened, but it was not on any program.
No, because like you said, it was set up and decided upon basically 24 hours in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the reason for doing that, according to what I heard, was because, as we mentioned, they had vendors back out.
Right.
Because of the hurricane in southern Texas. And so they filled some of the trade show floor space with a haunted house, which makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's something that they should continue to do, but they should plan to do it.
Yeah, because we talked about the conference with the mini haunts.
Right.
And that just sounded like really badass, and we really wanted to do that.
Yeah.
This was like that, but instead of being 14 mini haunts, it was just one mini haunt.
Right. Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, we're not feeling our best, folks. I apologize. As for me, I continued on the education track.
Right.
First, I attended Haunted House Security and Safety with Alex Lohman. I've got to say, this right here was probably my favorite talk.
Mm-hmm.
He was excellent. I think he did better than any of my talks, even. I put him above myself in terms of performance and information passing on.
Right.
He is with Reindeer Manor, and my God... This haunt definitely has safety and security down pat from what he described.
Yeah.
He described his system for light switches. I won't go into it. We could spend the full 50 minutes just on discussing that. I want to get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I think he could tell the story. I know he could tell the story way better than I can. But the long and short of it is every actor has the ability to signal security through a light switch. They also have the ability to signal there is a fire.
Right.
And it is brilliant. It is elegant. It is simple. And it's just effective. And he also talked about some of the challenges he ran into. For example, the fire marshal wanted to have fire sprinklers.
Yeah.
They found out the nearest pipe that could get water, enough water, was 9 miles away.
Right.
Bidding on that project started at $20 million.
Yeah.
Don't know about your haunt budget, but he was thinking much fewer digits, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, he talks about how he was able to work with the fire marshal and solve those types of problems, too.
Yeah.
Very, very good talk.
And actually, I went to the social media marketing before for the Common Man.
Oh, that's right, you did.
I went to play in the haunted house.
Oh, that's right, I'd forgotten that. God.
It's okay.
Illness is crippling us.
It's okay. No, but that only had 3 people in it, so it was more of a really quick, here's the presentation, ask your specific questions, and so then we...
Let's wrap.
Exactly. We just spitballed ideas for each other about how to promote things. Learned about a year-round haunt in Galveston. She's one of the people that doesn't know if her haunt's still there. Hoping that it is.
And yeah, you want to go to it.
Yes, next summer, because I will have time in the summer, and we can do that.
Sounds good. Yeah, I went after that, and this is where we broke, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I screwed that up.
It's okay.
But then we separated. You went and did the haunty thingy, and right. I guess we were both doing haunty thingies, but...
Yes, I went and scared people. Or tried to.
Well, I went and scared people, too, though it was with my cough.
Well, yeah.
But I did 40 years of haunting from the pre-pro era to the present day with Sean McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And this talk was interesting, because this is clearly a guy who... He speaks like a war veteran when talking about the history of his industry.
Yeah.
He reminds me a little bit, and this is going to sound crazy, of Jim Warfield from Raven's Grin Inn and his ability to ramble and go on and just take these diversions and so forth and lead you down these weird paths. The thing about it for me is I don't really know how much information I got out of it that was new to me.
Right.
Because I've been a pretty big student of the haunt history.
Right. Yeah, we both look into that quite often.
There was some stuff about, like, the personal conflicts between various haunters and haunter groups I didn't know about, because they're not the type of things you put in a history retrospective.
It's not, and it a lot of it goes into the rumor gossip area, so if you're not one of the players, then we probably aren't going to listen to it.
And we really wouldn't care normally, but it was still interesting. But I gotta say, the thing that I found so interesting about this talk was they were giving out Fright Props catalogs like candy at this conference. They were every room, at damn near every booth. They were everywhere.
That's because they didn't have a booth of their own. Yeah, that was something that was talked about.
But Fright Props catalogs were everywhere, including in every speaker's room. And he absolutely went on about how, you know, when 40 years ago, you didn't have these catalogs where you just order anything you wanted for your haunt. You had to either make it from stuff you could buy at a hardware store, or you had to know a guy that knew a guy and get you the hookup. And so, yeah, it was an interesting retrospective to look at how haunting has grown and changed. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, it gave me some fuel for thought in terms of maybe some future direction in the industry. But all in all, it was more of just a story time thing. It was interesting more from I guess you would say an emotional standpoint than an intellectual one. And then after that, I went to Haunt Building on a Budget with Roger Hayes, because I completely forgot I sat through his presentation at HauntCon.
Yep.
Completely forgot. Ran in there. I was late because it was pretty much right after the 40 years of haunting. Like the 40 years of haunting ended at 3. Roger Hayes things began at 3. I had to stop, go, get medicine, and then come back and try to sneak in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was like 5 minutes late, and then I sat down in a hurry and looked up, and Roger Hayes with that top hat, is one of those guys you know when you look at him.
Yeah.
Even if you forget his name.
Right.
Which apparently I did.
Yep.
You know him immediately upon sight, and I'm like, oh, I've sat in this class. But you know what? It wasn't a bad thing to sit through again.
Yeah.
He really does have some very, very good ideas on how to build a budget. Now, I'll say one thing he did do is he made me want to buy his book.
Yeah.
Very much badly.
Hmm.
And I'll probably consider doing that, because he does seem to have some great advice and some great ideas on how to do this on the cheap, how to avoid, even if you're a home haunt, avoid problems with fire marshals, how to, you know, avoid conflicts and how to recycle and things like that. You know, he is one of those, because in this industry, we have a handful of masters of the true budget haunting.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of them. So, not a bad class to go through a second time. Didn't realize I was going to do it until I got in there.
Right.
And that was it for me on that day. I know you scared for a little while longer. You scared pretty much until the trade show floor closed.
Until about... 4:30 or 5.
Yeah, I know there was a little bit of time I had to roam around the trade show floor without you to wait for you.
Yeah.
But we didn't do much with the trade show that day.
No.
But after that, we had to go get more medicine.
Yeah.
Get naps.
Right.
And get ready to go to the Saturday evening event.
Right.
Which we were really, really excited about.
Yes.
Because with the Saturday evening event, you had a choice of two things. you could either do an axe throwing contest, battle axe throwing, not battle, like,
no,
lumberjack just, axe type thing,
yeah,
throwing competition, or an escape room with a live zombie.
Right.
And of course, I should put the term "live" in quotes because we know zombies aren't really alive. That's why it's okay to kill them.
Yeah.
Except when it violates the rules of the escape room, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway. So basically, me, you, and about, like, I'd say 18 other people. It's about 20 of us total between the two things.
Yeah, there were 17 people on the bus.
We pile into the shuttle bus.
Yep.
And immediately we're having Subway and beer thrown at us.
Yes.
Which was nice.
Yes. And thrown is literal.
Thrown is literal in this story, yes.
Someone might have gotten beamed in the head once, but...
By a sandwich, not the beer bottle, to be clear.
Yes, yes.
To be clear, it was not the beer bottle. It was a sandwich.
Good distinction.
But yes, then we go to the... One thing I didn't realize when I was booking it was that they were at the same place.
Right.
Which is, I mean, how many axe-throwing/escape-room places can you name?
One,
exactly. Escape Room Adventures near Dallas.
Yes.
And basically what they did is they started the axe throwers out early because they had practice and then they had two separate games they were going to do.
Right.
And one of them was a double elimination tournament.
Yeah.
And all we had was a one-hour escape room.
Right.
With a zombie. But I gotta say, you and I had been wanting to do a zombie escape room like this for a while.
Yes.
We talked about it, but we had never been able to really piece together a team.
Right, because our usual crew that goes with us don't want to be scared by actors.
And here's the thing, we are now 10-2 in escape rooms.
Yeah.
We have built a really goddamn good escape team, I think.
Yeah.
We're pretty crackerjack. But yeah, part of that is you have a lot of variety in personality, and part of that variety means some people don't like being in scary situations.
Right.
So, you've got to consider those things. So, we went in, a team of 9, basically, into this escape room, and it was really weird because it's like, it was a panel room, and we're standing on the outside of it, and we're like, I wonder how big the room is, and all the haunters start counting the panels. Well, yeah. See, it's a 5x5. That's going to mean it's about an 18x18 when we get inside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it. People.
Yeah.
But what I didn't expect was that the zombie would be literally loose in the room with us.
Right.
I'm not sure what I expected, but basically it's like you get in there, you start looking for clues, and then the zombie burst out of like an armoire.
Yeah.
That's toward the center of one of the walls.
Right.
And she starts out with, like, next to no chain.
Yeah.
So basically you can do all but, you know, hug the armoire and you're fine.
Yeah.
And then every 5 minutes, the chain gets a foot longer. Or a foot or a little bit longer. I don't remember how much it was longer. It gets a certain distance. It's a foot,
yeah.
What was interesting about it was by about 40 minutes into the game,
yeah,
the zombie could easily reach every corner of that room.
Right.
Because she was tethered by her wrists, not by her waist.
Right.
So she could easily slink over to any corner of that room.
Yeah.
So realistically, she's sitting there. Her job isn't so much to get people out as to serve as a distraction.
Yeah. And to keep you from going to certain areas.
Yeah.
Unless you distract her.
Yeah.
Because you can distract the zombie with song and dance. So whenever... Because I'm... very specific in an escape room. I like to find a puzzle that's going to take time and work on it by myself. Yeah, I know. Big team player. But so since there were so many people doing so many things, and every time I'd find something to do, nobody would know if it had already been done.
Yeah.
And then I'd get halfway through it, and then they'd say, oh, we already did that. It did this.
And that was the big frustration. We had such a large team.
Right.
And even though we did a decent job communicating, as good as can be expected, the news didn't always reach everybody.
Right.
And I think that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, so then basically I became the zombie distractor.
Yeah.
And started singing to her and stuff whenever she started looking towards the other people in the group.
Yeah, which was a very important thing to do.
Yeah.
And according to the good doctor, and we'll get to that in a minute,
yeah.
I played the role of information gatherer.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy, and I do this in all escape rooms, I listen.
Yeah.
I listen, I observe, and I think. I don't always look like I'm doing a lot.
Right.
But what I'm doing is gathering all the information I can, so when someone goes, oh God, where's something like this? I'm like, oh, it's right over there.
Yep.
And that's kind of my bag. I speak rarely, but when I do, it's probably important.
Yeah.
Kind of the exact opposite of the podcast. But anyways, so that was a... But anyway, in the end, our wonderful team did manage to get out.
Yes. Time to spare.
Time to spare. I had about 8 minutes to spare. It was a good experience. The puzzles, I think, were pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't expect much if you go there in the decor.
Yeah.
It's one bright-ass escape room because there's no ceiling on the panel part and you're getting the fluorescent lights from the top. And if there's an axe-throwing tournament going on right on the other side of the wall, it might be a little noisy.
A little? Yeah. It was loud. It was very hard to hear in there. Still, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that we had two actors with us the entire time. The doctor was very helpful.
And I liked the fact that she was observing the group.
Right.
And gave her observations after the fact.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that added an unexpected element to it. So yeah, I would encourage you to go check that one out. It was a very different style of room escape.
Right.
Than any other we've done.
Yes.
But yes, the victory raises our score to 10-2. It is in the spreadsheet.
Yep.
Go team, right?
Yeah.
So that was fun. But with that, it was time to get back to the hotel. Where first we watched the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Right.
We got back. We were supposed to be out until past midnight, but we wrapped up early.
Yeah.
And we drove back to the hotel, picking up pizza on the way.
Yeah.
And watched the McGregor fight. Won't say anything about that. This isn't Fight Weekly.
Yeah.
But we hung out with the other... And it was a small crowd in that room. It wasn't, like, packed to the gills.
It was basically the people who went to the mixer. Escape room and axe throwing, plus... A few of the people from the mixer, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's another thing. It's not really a conference where people seem to hang out for the after-hour stuff.
Right. Which also leads us to believe that it's more locals.
Yeah, more locals. People driving up for the day or maybe even for the 2 days. But that's about it. We did that. And then we went to briefly stayed at an after party.
Yeah.
But by that point, we were already both feeling the combination of...
Oh, yeah.
I was feeling a combination of alcohol and sick.
Yeah.
And you were feeling pretty rough, so we made our exit pretty quickly from that, and I'm sorry about that, but we were not able to really do much.
Yeah.
Went home, went to the hotel room, took all the meds, and I woke up Sunday morning actually feeling really good.
Yeah.
Which surprised the hell out of me.
I felt horrible.
Yes, she felt horrible now, but I felt like $1 million. So my talk, which was the first thing I did that day, which was from 12 to 1, it was the one about how to make a website that sells your haunt. I did an excellent job, I think. I think the talk went really well.
Yeah, it did.
There was only two people in the room.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was worth it. And it was another situation, like you described, where you do the talk and then you sit around and you rap for a bit about what's going on.
Right.
After that, I shuffled off. Or did you come with me? You went with me.
Yeah, I didn't do the haunt this day because I was just feeling so terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really having serious reaction to whatever was going on.
Yeah. Well, we then moved to online, offline, reach more fans and sell more tickets by Alan Salinebrink. He's the CEO of HauntPay.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with him. There's a lot of Alex at this conference.
There were.
But yes, we did that and had a good time there. I found it kind of funny that he directly contradicted some of the things I said.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some of this stuff, there's room for disagreement, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to stand by email as a valid marketing method. If you're getting super low open rates on your emails, send better emails.
Yeah.
How's that? And then after that, we kind of really expected to leave.
Yeah.
We hit the trade show floor a little bit.
Yeah.
But we were both feeling really rough by this time. I was starting to feel worse, and you were really in the can at this point.
Yeah, the allergy had spread. And I was not feeling good at all. Yeah, the plan at that point was to go to the airport to get real medicine because the hotel Benadryl was not working anymore.
Yeah, and if we were going to have to catch an Uber to somewhere to get medicine, it made sense just do one Uber trip, go to the airport. And you can always kill time in the airport. Airports are made for killing time.
They are.
But we saw... Melissa Winton? Did I say that last name? Setting up Hauntzilla's Tempting Terrors, hosting a murderous dinner party.
Yeah.
And we're intrigued.
Yeah.
By the setup and the spread.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, it is really early to go to the airport. Our flight was at like 9:30.
Yeah, and, you know, we felt a little bit bad because there was nobody in the room.
At the time. To be clear, people did show up pretty quickly. Yes. Once again, I think part of the issue was two other classes ended right as hers was supposed to begin.
Yep. No, I completely agree with that.
So we were the first two people in the room. And it was like, we sit down, I'm like, okay, we're not even really 100% sure what this is about. She's just got this really elegant, you know, spread.
Right.
Up there in the speakers area. And basically, she is doing dishes for Halloween parties. Or, what we're going to use them for, actors.
Yes.
And some of them are actually really good and really imaginative. And because her thing was, you know, if you do those recipes on like Pinterest or those old Halloween cookbooks or whatever, they always sacrifice taste in exchange for the look.
Right.
She wanted recipes that tasted really good, and even if they only kind of, sort of implied what they were after, like the watermelon salad.
Right, the watermelon salad, which was cubed watermelon, tomatoes, some red wine vinegar, and basil all mixed together so that whenever it was in, she put it inside of a skull bowl, so it looked like brains coming out of the top.
Yeah. And it actually looked pretty good.
Yeah. And it tasted good. She's going to have a cookbook coming out soon.
Yeah, and I'm really, really excited about that.
Yes, we'll be getting that for Ellie.
We'll be getting that, and we'll be getting that to Ellie, who's our haunt mom, and actually will be the one in charge of making these recipes. The best tasting recipe for me was the dragon's eyes.
Right.
I did not expect that to go as well as it did, because it was English cucumbers with a mix of feta and cream cheese.
Right, not a huge cream cheese.
I'm not a huge cream. That's why I thought this was going to tank.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then a sliced dry tomato that formed like the vertical iris.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a green dragon. It really did. It really did. And it was actually pretty damn yummy.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. But, yeah, it was... That was the last thing we did. And by the time we were leaving, a lot of other people had showed up, partially for the free food. She'd apparently done this talk last time.
Right.
And did some of the recipes. And, of course, that got a lot of the guys eager for free food in there. And I don't blame them. But, yeah, it was still a very good talk. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that recipe booklet.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think some of those could be useful for the actors in our haunt, because they were all finger foodie type stuff.
Right.
So, very, very cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps up the conference. After that, we did go to the hotel. I mean, not the hotel, the airport. We did get you medicine.
Right.
And we did eventually get on a flight back to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Though, Love Field Airport was a flipping disaster when we got there.
Well, that's because two airports were closed because of the storm.
Yeah, it was utter chaos there. Yeah. And I mean, it's not Southwest's fault, but it was really crazy because it was like there was like five people and a chimpanzee in security. And we get through there and it's just chaos. Like you can't even walk around. It's so chaotic.
Right.
It was like Mardi Gras level chaos in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what is going on? Oh... Because that's just it. Dallas is so far away from the storm.
Right.
And especially when you're conferencing and all that, you lose sight of what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, we got a few minutes left. So, talk a little bit about the trade show floor. Did anything really catch your eye?
Well, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Jason and his wife are listeners of the podcast who came up and said hello.
Yes, yes. Hi. First time we have been recognized at an event. Thank you for giving us that moment.
Yes. Well, not the first time we've been recognized at an event.
For Haunt Weekly.
For Haunt Weekly, yes.
Yeah. We've been recognized at events before for less pleasant reasons.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. People don't like us when we're reviewers. So
yeah, we, in fact, I'm not going to mention names, but someone's like, what are you talking about, reviewers? I'm like, really? Yeah. That's all we do is reviewers?
Well, that's all he knew us for, yeah. So apparently we need to change that.
Yeah, not the podcast, not the Haunt Me Run, not all the other stuff.
Right.
Anyways.
Just the reviews.
Yeah, and I do want to give my shout out to Stephen Kohlberg, the main organizer, who, like I said, will be on this podcast soon.
Right.
And to Haley, who was the savior and pulled me going to this together.
Right. She helped a lot with the coordination on that.
Yeah, she was amazing.
And the rest of the team was really nice and helpful, too.
Yeah, that is the thing. I have never met a nicer team of conference organizers in my life.
No.
Literally. I'm not kidding, not exaggerating. I've been to probably over 50 conferences now.
Right.
Zero. These guys, in terms of niceness, take the cake. They win.
Yeah. Adam, thank you for letting me work in the haunt. Yes. I had a lot of fun. God. You did a great job with the time and supplies that you had.
They have a lot of awesome people at this.
Yeah. Also, quick shout out to Drew.
Drew.
From Big Scary Show.
Oh, yes.
Met him. You'll actually be
on his podcast next. I'll be tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Mistakes are made on this agreement.
Yeah.
I kind of bet I'll be over to call by then.
Well,
I don't mind coughing and hacking on my podcast. It's my podcast. I can do whatever I want.
You can mute your mic whenever you're not talking.
Yeah, I might do that. So. Yeah, but anyway, it is a Skype one, so I have a little more control.
Yeah,
because this is like the lowest editing and production you can personally fathom. I think the biggest investment was the tripod.
Only because the mic was free.
Only because the mic was free. Yes, yeah. I know the recorder was free.
Yeah.
But anywho, so yeah. Okay,
so yeah, now we can go back to the trade show floor because I wanted to say our thank yous real quick.
Yes, and like I said, we are running a little bit short on time. But yeah, anything catch your eye, anything really big?
There were some cool things. Lucifer's lamps, I really liked. We actually bought one of the x-rays from them.
Yes, I think that was the only purchase we made.
That is the only purchase we made. There were a couple of mask makers. There was a woman selling crocheted dolls, which I thought was interesting because I actually wore my knitted monster's hat most of the time. That was in the photo we posted. That's a new business venture for me that I'm trying to soft launch. So it was interesting to see someone in the same kind of craft. You know, knitting's different than crochet, but it's all yarn art.
Yeah.
So.
I actually like Demented Designs. I'd seen some of their stuff before. Yeah. They brought their clowns and they brought their meat.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to take some meat home, but I wasn't sure how TSA was going to react to that.
Hilariously? Hello.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, they had some really cool stuff. I really did like their meat and their limbs.
Right.
I'm not big on clowns and haunts, because my personal belief is clowns it's either a phobia you got or you ain't.
Yeah.
And if you ain't got it, you're not going to be plussed or bothered by clowns.
Yeah, the only place I would put clowns, really, is in the front yard, because it's a carnival circus thing.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It does go with the carnival thing. But yeah, there was a lot of neat stuff. Now, we didn't get to play with the zombie shooting bus.
I think it was just a display.
Well, I thought you were supposed to be able to walk on and tour it. But there was never anyone there when we went up to it.
Yeah. I think they were just there to promote their zombie shooting experience.
Well, they also had representatives from a couple haunts.
Right. Fearphobia and Fearphobia Obscura.
Dark Hour was there.
Dark Hour.
And Obscura, Obscura was the extreme haunt.
Right, that was doing a mini experience, but we didn't find out about it until on the bus, because one of the organizers for it were there.
She was on our team.
Yes. And then Sunday, they did have slots available, but we were just
by
both
that point,
feeling so bad.
Both had serious issues, and See, the thing about me is when I get sick, my patience, which is already not the best in the world. Let's not kid ourselves. I am not a patient man. I admit that. I admit my faults. But my patience drops to nothing.
Yeah.
I have zero tolerance for anyone's bull in the world.
Yeah.
Any slight, anything will set me off, it seems like.
Yeah.
And so I could just see me in an extreme haunt saying, okay, everyone, touch you and ask all these intimate questions. And I just totally go off on these people and probably flip who's afraid of who pretty quickly.
Probably. That would have been interesting.
Flip the script a little bit, but... But yeah, I could totally see me doing that because that's just, I know my personality when I'm sick. I just don't have the tolerance for it.
Yeah. And considering that I was already sick and stuff, I just,
yeah, it was not a good thing for either of us to do at that time.
No.
So yeah, we didn't do that. But yeah, we roamed around. We talked to a lot of the vendors. A lot of neat stuff was on display and on sale.
Right.
Froggy's Fog was there.
Yeah.
They're always there.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'll have to look up his name.
Okay.
So it probably won't be in the show notes, but I'll mention him later. He has an Etsy page, and he hand carves little necklaces
things.
It was so pretty. And I have a card for him in the other room, so maybe it will be in show notes.
Okay, I'll put it in the show notes.
but yeah, he was really nice and apparently fairly good at axe throwing. From all tales.
Yeah. So. That's how we're judging people now, by how good they are in escape rooms and or axe throwing.
Yes.
Those are the only two metrics that determine your quality as a human being now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that I really liked the bus ride.
Yeah.
Because people, that felt like the most networking event.
Yeah.
Where we actually got to talk to everybody. Because everybody on the bus talked that you were set next to on the way there.
Yeah.
And then everybody played musical chairs on the way back and talked to new people.
Yeah.
So I really liked that.
Yeah, that is the thing about the conference that seemed kind of weird to me. It was like HauntCon was all about networking.
Yeah.
It was like 95% networking.
Right.
I gave out so many business cards. I made so many contacts at that conference. It is insane. I don't feel like I had that experience at this one because, A, it is a locals conference. A lot of people are just driving up and driving back. They're just coming for the trade show floor or maybe a class or two.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like a thing where people are staying. And I think one of the reasons for that might be the fact there are no haunt tours.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that. But with it this late...
Oh, yeah. And that's the other problem is the timing, yeah.
In summer, I don't know how many haunts would be... ready able. To receive a
exactly.
tour.
Exactly. And then this thing, even we, with our Rudy Pooh little home haunt, are pushing going to this event.
Right.
If we weren't a decent amount ahead, and now just more or less on time, with construction and everything, we wouldn't have gone.
Right. And that does seem the target audience for this is home haunters.
Well, home haunters of all stripes. And that actually kind of... impacts me a little bit as a speaker because the two talks I gave were more geared toward professional haunters.
Right.
They like I know the copyright and trademark talk went really well at HauntCon.
Yeah.
Everyone loved that talk. It went over like I wouldn't say like a fart in church, but
but you just did.
But,
so.
but not as nearly as well.
Yeah.
And that's because of a very, very different audience. If I had known this was a home haunt audience. Maybe you and I could have put together a talk about some of our 2x4 technology tricks that we've learned over the years.
Right.
How to really speed up the construction of a haunt.
Right.
Because we're a lot faster than we were 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I would say so.
We could have imparted some of that instead. And that's what seemed to do well in terms of classes were these how-tos.
Yeah.
So, you know, lesson learned, I'll shift my expectations and my plans for next year. I do want to go next year.
Yeah.
Illness, allergies, everything aside, we still had a great time.
Yeah. I'll still... just know to start taking Zyrtec a week before we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case there's a rodeo or it's the linens or whatever.
Whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, we still had a great time. We still met a lot of awesome people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a very, very good conference. And in spite of the handicaps with the hurricane and some of it coming together at the absolute last minute, it still went off pretty smoothly.
It did.
The staff, like we said, are the friendliest and most active and helpful staff I think I've ever seen at a conference.
Yeah, because you know,
Steve,
that
you got a great team, dude. I'm just telling you straight, man.
Yeah, you're right. You've got a great team. So,
but yeah, so yeah, I do want to go. I mean, and I'm not going to blame the conference for the fact that I got sick on the way there.
Yeah, or that there was a hurricane and some things were canceled.
Yeah, that's
not their fault.
Obviously, I think there are things that can be improved.
Yeah.
But, you know, this seems to be, I don't know how long this conference is going on, but it's definitely a new conference.
Yeah.
So it may still have some growing and some nurturing to do.
Right.
And I hope it's able to do it. And if it, one thing that might be able to help it is if it does stay at the same place, that will allow them to plan better for the conference next year.
Right.
They've already got the environment. They know it. They're not having to reinvent the wheel. They can put more, you know what I mean, into the front-loaded stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I've got right now. You got anything else?
No.
I think we talked this to death. Like I said, in a few weeks, we're going to have Steve Kohlberg on to talk about the conference, and he's going to go over a lot of stuff we just did, but also talk about future visions and ideas and why he's doing it. I want to pick this guy's brain about this conference.
All right.
Because I'm excited to learn. I want to know why people do conferences, not how people do conferences.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I put together conferences too, but not just out of thin air. They were like to promote something specifically.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I guess so.
I want to know what drove him to do this. I want to get more back. I want to get in his brain.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. That will be coming up soon, as will a couple other interviews. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 91. Do take a moment. Follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly, Facebook at Haunt Weekly, and we are at hauntweekly.com. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. Hopefully, not nearly as sick. Oh,
yes.
And next episode 92, divisible by four. That means we're doing
the news.
We'll see you then.